On the show today, we have African American Credit Union Coalition's very own Renee Sadie White and local government federal credit unions Maurice Smith talking about, yes, the 8th Cooperative Principle Initiative and how we can get it adopted. Great, great stuff here, so check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And boy, do we have an episode for you. We have, I'm going to go ladies first here, African American Credit Union Coalition's very own Renee Sadie White right below us. Renee, how are you today?
I'm doing great, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, anytime. And then right next to me, we have Mr. Maurice Smith from Local Government Federal Credit Union. Maurice, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. I feel like my career has, I've arrived now. I'm here on the telecast with you. So this punctuates everything for me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You were well there way before this episode but thank you for it. We appreciate it. Today we are talking about something super cool, the 8th Cooperative Principle Initiative. And it's all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've been talking about this for how many years now? My gosh. But I first heard you talk about this, Maurice, last year at the AACUC conference, the virtual conference, and went, oh my gosh, it was almost kind of like an epiphany. So it's like, why hasn't something like this happened sooner? But before we get into that question, Maurice, I'm going to ask you, so tell us about the 8th Cooperative Principle again, because I remember you bringing this up last year at the AACUC conference. So give us the kind of the foundation here, the quick summary.
Well, thank you for that question, Mike. Sure. So credit union nerds and co-ops would understand and recognize there are 7 principles for co-ops. We are arguing for the presence of the arrival of an 8th principle that focuses on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, that's not to take anything away from the other principles, but we've arrived at a time and a place in society today that we think it's in the business interests of credit unions and co-ops in general that we have this 8th principle. And so we are making our debate to a worldwide stage. This should be done. We still have some work to do, but we're trying to rally some support for it.
Now, when did you first, I'm going to say, think this up? Because I'm sure the thought has always been there. But when did you kind of first bring it to light? Because, I mean, I first heard about it last year at AACUC's conference, virtual conference last year. But I'm sure you guys have been talking about this, you know, before that, right? Or was that kind of the official time you first mentioned it?
There's been some conversation about this beforehand.
2017?
I think 2017, when Maurice was the chair of CUNA.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. The CUNA folks asked me to write an op-ed for Black History Month. And I wanted to pin a message that really talked about hope and something aspirational and prospective about what we can do in the credit union movement that would improve it for all communities. And so taking a look at the 7 principles and realizing what they say and the limitations within each of the principles, I didn't see a complete carve out for DEI. It just felt like it was just obvious that it was missing, that we should raise this to a higher level of dialogue. And I'm really quite pleased that AACUC was the first to adopt it. And so we are encouraging other institutions and organizations to also get on board. There's quite a chorus of credit unions and organizations that like this idea, and they've joined us on to try to make this happen.
Well, it just seems like a natural fit for credit. It's in the credit union wheelhouse. My goodness. I mean, which brings me my devil's advocate question. And I'm going to present this to you, Renee. It's like, why now? What's been the holdup all these years? I mean, because this seems like something this should have happened, you know, a decade or two ago, you know? So, so why now, Renee?
So I don't see it as a why now, Mike. I see it as a, okay, good. Let's do it.
You're right.
Right. Because now is the time. Now there's energy, there's synergy around all of this this effort to make a better world, to make a more equitable world for everybody. Mm-hmm. So with that context, who better to solve for that than credit unions,
right,
and using the eighth cooperative principle? So for me, it's not a why now. It's okay, great, let's do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, full steam ahead for sure. Because I'm thinking, you know, obviously the momentum from the DEI movement has really, really propelled this to the front, to the top. It's percolated to the top for sure. And so there's a lot of momentum behind this. And with that said, Maureen, so what needs to be done to get this, I guess, officially adopted? Are there protocols involved? Are there, you know, what needs to be done here to get this official?
Mike, that's a good question. There is a process. So the seven cooperative principles are owned by this organization called ICA, the International Cooperative Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
ICA was formed, I believe, in 1895, something along that line. And so this is the organization that represents co-ops internationally. And so they are the ones who review every so many years the seven principles and make tweaks in the language here and there. Because they have to sort of synthesize the message for multiple countries, for multiple languages. So just us saying that we wanted an eighth principle for our international platform in the United States isn't enough. We need to have this international body sign off on it. They are meeting in Seoul, Korea in December of this year. It was mm-hmm. put off from last year.
Right.
And a little birdie tells me that they have on their agenda to talk about the eighth principle idea.
Cool.
And so we are hoping that they will see the light and understand this is a time that they can find more relevance in the principles by addressing contemporary society's concerns today. And so we're making that argument today. We're trying to have a bit of a dust up here in the United States so that it creates this worldwide conversation. And then the ICA, when they meet, they will feel a groundswell of support for doing this and hopefully come on board with it.
Okay, now the groundswell, what can credit unions do in the meantime? Because obviously, Renee, AACUC has already adopted this, and kudos to you guys for doing that. So what can credit unions do to get behind this? Is there something that that they all can do collectively to get this momentum going, so come December that this will be a no-brainer, right?
Absolutely. We've got DEItalks.com mm-hmm. hosted by LGFCU, and it gives great extensive information about the eighth cooperative principle, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And there's a declaration that you can sign that you are part of this.
Right on,
you are
right.
part of this. And so again, it's DEI Talks, DEItalks.com. And just go on that website and be a part of it. Put your organization's name there. Put your logo there. Say, yes, you are with us. You're for this. Now, Maurice is an attorney, the legalese and all of that. But for me, there's no reason why every United States credit union shouldn't already be a part of this. We've got a little less than 5,000. I expect 5,000 signatures.
Agreed. I like that. it's 100% for sure. And Maurice, I mean, so I think we all know the answer to this question, but I just love to get your take on this, the importance of this initiative. I mean, because on the site, the DEtalks.com website that I'm on right now, you state kind of a business case for DEI. Can you kind of give us that in a summary form?
Absolutely, Mike. So as we think about why DEI is important to credit unions, there is truly a business case forward. A couple of examples would be, first of all, risk mitigation. Diversity allows an institution or an individual to avoid making future mistakes. Now, Mike, I know you're going to find this really shocking, but I have made mistakes in the past. I know. That's my confession for today's show. But every time we've made a mistake as an organization, it's come down to the issue spotting stage of the development of an idea or a product. We realized we didn't have a diverse enough opinions, ideals, principles, you know, experience around the table when we formed an idea, and then later we had a misstep in an execution. Diversity is the antidote for that kind of risk in any organization. But also, credit unions, financial services, it's a commodity market. So So how do we distinguish ourselves from competitors, new and traditional? And we think the way you do that is through innovation. How do you get to innovation? By having diverse minds inform on how you do business. DEI is all about that. We think there's a really compelling message for an institution to look at an eighth principle, to look at DEI, and say, wait a minute, this makes us better for serving our entire membership.
Indeed. And Renny, I want to get your take on that as well. What's the importance from your perspective as well?
Well, everyone knows, I say this all the time, I'm the possibility of people serving other people passionately. I'll say that again. I'm the possibility of people serving other people passionately. And with that possibility, the eighth cooperative principle is just, it's just the thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's the right thing. I want to quote from the article. The cooperative principles were originally written in 1844. The world looked different then. Slavery was legal in many states. Women lacked the right to vote. In fact, women were prohibited from inheriting property and were generally considered the chattel of their husbands. That's a no-brainer. I mean, we need to be updated, basically. We need to be updated. The philosophy and the model of the credit union industry just goes along with it to such a great end. If people helping people is our business, then the eighth cooperative principle is a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Yep.
Indeed. And Renee, I'm going to stick with you on this one. So what changes will this mean for credit unions, if any? Because we all should be operating like this anyway. But just for discussion's sake, what changes will be made upon the adoption of the eighth cooperative principle, which I have no doubt will be adopted. But what can credit unions expect? I mean, again, if anything.
Well, when it's in writing, when it's established, when it's part of the right to do something, the right, it's like the Bill of Rights for us in the United States, right? This is a mandate. It becomes, this is what we do. This is why we do it. And so when we adopt this, when everybody's adopted, when it becomes official, because I believe they're going to do the right thing, when it becomes official, then it's something that we can stand on. It becomes a pillar for us. Mm-hmm. And so when we're doing our goals, when we're doing our strategic plans at our credit unions and our credit union related organizations, we can then tie this into those of us who are looking at a co-op model. How does that work? So now that we've got all these, the eighth cooperative principles, we can look to each one to solve for economic and racial disparity. How do we fix those things? How do we solve for those things? So I believe that that's how we can do that. That's what will change, is that now, okay, this is, it's illegal. We've agreed upon it. Let's move forward. Mm-hmm. We can now work together. These are the building blocks for which we can foundation ourselves. This is what we have to do. This is now our mandate.
Well, and is this happening in other industries, Maurice, or are credit unions kind of the spearhead here? Are we pushing that proverbial envelope in this area, or are other industries out there doing stuff like this?
We're the tip of the spear for the co-op community, but mm-hmm. other co-ops are also looking at this and have adopted it. Our co-op community here in North Carolina is really jumping on board with this. And and it's important for the audience to understand credit unions are not the only kind of co-ops. They have food co-ops, right. Agriculture co-ops, housing, so on and so forth. We all share these set of principles. We all have the same kind of responsibilities and idealism pertaining to society in general. So we're seeing this being a cross-industry endeavor within the co-op community. And I believe it's something that we can just say, this is what we did that distinguishes us from every other type and form of business.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And tell me about DEITalks.com, the website, real quick, Maurice, too, because there's a ton of, if you want more information, this is the place to go for sure. So tell us real quickly about the DEITalks.com website. This is pretty cool.
This began as a collaboration of mine between Renee and I, which is really quite dangerous. Renee and I get together and we start
you guys
change the world. That's usually where all the trouble begins. So we had this idea. What if we created a home for DEI that was reflected in the voice of AACUC, of having support from LGFCU just to get it started? But this is a community. This is a home. This is a place that we can have these kinds of dialogue, this kind of conversation. So how do we make the whole credit union movement better and co-ops in general as well? We hope to have enriched content, more contributions from others. And the true spirit of a co-op, we should have participation from the members, mm-hmm. from the public at large. So yeah. we're hoping to continue to grow on this. If you visit the site, seeing what's there, come back again, because it should be evolving and changing as time goes on.
Yeah, that's a good point, Maurice, that I didn't even think about. Is this can also, not only will it spread throughout the credit union industry, but the members will pick it up as well. And that's a great, I guess, a great position to stand for right there. You're shaking your head, Renee, that, hey, you know, this is this could be, you know, a great thing, not only for credit unions, but for members as well, which will, you know, transfer into the consumer world as well, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And LGSCU, they do everything in excellence. And so ACC is proud to partner at any time with local government and civic federal credit union. But the site looks so good.
Yeah,
it looks so, so professional, so profound, so compelling, so engaging that I get lost in it. Right. I get lost in the colors. I get lost in the information. And so not only is it eye-catching, but it has so many things that can inspire you and encourage you to be engaged in the DEI conversation. How can you make your organization better? What can you do? Where can you start? So having those conversations, having those resources and those tools is a wonderful thing. And again, not just for credit union team members, but for your credit union members as well. Everybody's interested in this DEI conversation. Mm-hmm. I think that DEI Talks breaks it down. It gives it bite-sized information. It gives perspective that is generally not seen from the imagine having DEITalks.com and the person who created the Eighth Cooperative Principle. That in itself is huge. And so to have a thought leader such as Maurice to pin that, but to also have a website that's devoted to it, that's just huge. And for me, it's something that I'm really proud of the partnership, extremely proud of.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, this is where I'm scrolling through the site right now. This is where the declaration is, right? Because the credit unions can go there. Yeah, here it is right here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the resolution. Yeah. So you can sign up and put your credit union's name in the hat and really support this movement for sure. So
now this is different. This is different than the DEI Collective. The DEI Collective, which we both belong to, they also have a declaration as well.
That's right. That's right.
But this one is really specific for the Eighth Cooperative Principle. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we're clear about that.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. You guys probably have so much on your plates. I don't want to take up too much time because you are very busy people. So we appreciate the time. My last question usually is, hey, anything else to wrap up? Renee, I'll let you go first. Anything else here to wrap up?
Just that people keep saying, oh, DEI is a fad and it's going to pass away. No, DEI cannot pass. We have the colored majority now. I won't say minority anymore because there's a colored majority here in the United States, actually around the world. What I will say is this. Our conference for this year, the theme is be bold, be mindful, be brave. I offer that to all of you in this world that is topsy-turvy with COVID and social unrest. Please be mindful, be bold, and be brave. Do the things that bring you joy. Yep. Tell your people that you love them and make sure that you're intentional about making a difference and being that change to make a difference.
Indeed. Well said. Maurice, any final words of wisdom here? See if you can you top that?
Yeah, that's hard, Mike. So my wife and I, we have two children. They're grown children, no grandkids yet.
It'll happen, Maurice, don't worry.
But I'm imagining a future someday, Mike, that I'm going to be sitting somewhere and there's going to be a grandchild sitting on my knee. It's going to say, Granddaddy, back during the day when they were talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, back during the day when they were talking about inequities and unfairness in society, what did you do? And I want to be able to say, we were vocal. We had a place for a conversation. We helped organizations and communities and individuals think about their role in society. Mm-hmm. How can credit unions that express these grand ideals about how do we help members and communities, we help them see there's a whole new element that you can add to your credit union. I want to be able to say I was a contributor. And I would say to the leaders today, whether it's credit unions or leagues or any other organizations or any part of the co-op community, that what do you want to say to the future? And what do you want your legacy to say about you? So if you wanted to say something that we made a difference, here's an opportunity for you to make a difference.
Take action for sure. Well said. Well said. You guys are changing the world. So I'm very honored to have you on the show today. So I appreciate it. Appreciate all the work you guys are doing. It's just, it's phenomenal. So I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. So it's just, again, a pleasure and an honor to have you guys on. And, you know, don't stop. Keep that foot on the accelerator, okay? And then come December, it'll be a no-brainer for sure.
Okay, we'll quote you on it, Mike.
Okay. All righty. Well, thanks again. Appreciate the time as always. Renee, Maurice, love having you guys on the show. You guys are the ultimate dynamic duo. Again, changing the world. So thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. My pleasure. Okay.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.